This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Team Haven. Happy birthday to Hayden.
Woo woo!
Happy birthday!
How old are you turning, Hayden?
20.
The big 2-0. Happy birthday to Hayden. We enjoyed a beautiful birthday breakfast together, and now we are ready to talk sports and other things. How are we today? Hayden, why is your thumb down? It's your birthday.
Come on.
Why are you still upset with your birthday? I brought you a present.
Mm-hmm.
We went to breakfast. Your parents brought the breakfast, which shout out to your parents.
Yeah, shout out to the fam.
I feel like I should have bought your breakfast, but either way, shout out to the parents. Let's get those thumbs up, buddy. It's your birthday. I know it's only the big 2-0, so it feels maybe a little insignificant, but come on. It's a birthday, boy. We can't sing to you legally. They're really strict about that birthday.
Yeah.
But that birthday song.
Hmm. All right.
Thumbs up for Hayden.
There it is. There it is.
Cameron, you good?
I am doing good. I'm doing great. A little sore from all my excellent axe throwing yesterday, but besides that, doing great.
Draven, you good?
Doing great.
Here we are. Day one of the coaching search.
The dust has begun to settle a little bit, huh?
No.
Or is it just getting started?
The dust is still up in the air. We still don't know what the hell is happening. We're waiting for a athletic director to be named, and then we are waiting to see where they go next in terms of coaches. We have seen people start putting hot boards out.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to get an idea of what at least some of the coaching names may be. But that's the story of the day, of course, as we come in here. And, you know, you got a statement from Jeremy Pruitt's lawyer, which I don't know if it's a good sign whenever your lawyer's statement is screenshot on a notes app. I feel like you could be a little bit more professional on that.
Just a little bit.
Signs didn't look good for Jeremy Pruitt's lawsuit, but we'll see. They're going to fight. They basically came out and said, look, Tennessee wanted to fire Jeremy Pruitt. They didn't have the guts to do it and pay the buyout. They're some broke boys, so they have railroaded my coach simply to save some money, and that's not right, so they'll see us in court. Now we'll see if Tennessee cuts them a $3 or $4 million check, says, here's your next year's salary.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. Which at that point, then you're like, oh, well, you only saved like $12 million, so is it worth destroying your program? And we'll have those discussions and we'll see. And I saw the VolQuest guys say there's anywhere from 12 to 50 level 1 and level 2 violations.
50?
Up to 50.
Wow.
You had Dan Patrick talking about his source telling him that Tennessee was just handing out cash in McDonald's bags.
I'm loving it.
Instead of Moose, maybe we should have called him Grimace.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
That was going.
Hayden liked that.
Yeah, that was a good giggle. Thank you, Hayden. I appreciate you. Handing out cheese with the Whoppers. No,
extra
wait.
Extra cheddar.
Those would be Big Macs.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Should have left it with the Grimace.
Mm-hmm.
Went too far. I don't know if Dan Patrick would be accurate in that, but I mean, what we have heard doesn't tell much different of a story. I mean, when it comes to the hotels, that was a part of the report whenever UT's like, yeah, we're investigating some hotel stuff. And everyone's like, oh, hotel rooms, who cares, not that big of a deal. And then you're like, well, actually, there's cash, like, at front desk and folders under the checkout name and stuff like that. Like, players were able to go get some money at the hotels, allegedly. So it's not far-fetched to think they're just sliding some $100 bills into some McDonald's bags. But Dan Patrick was talking about that, and they said, yeah, also keep an eye on Jason Witten. I'm like, oh, my goodness, okay, I guess.
Jay Witt, coming back.
Which his name popped up in 2017. I don't know how reputable it was, but Clay Travis was talking about, like, he's here and Jason Witten. People have said Jason Witten wants to coach, Jason Witten wants the job. We'll see. But the hot boards so far haven't been too crazy. They also haven't been too sexy. Mm-hmm. I think you can go ahead and mark off Billy Napier.
Yep.
From Louisiana. It doesn't seem like he's interested in moving, taking over a dumpster fire. And if you're Billy Napier and you're Louisiana, like, yeah, I'm not moving. I'm going to stay in the state of Louisiana until Ed Orgeron gets fired and I take over LSU. Seems like he would be next in line there as long as he keeps it rolling. You did have Jim Caldwell on the hot board from VolQuest, which was a little surprising. And also included was like Lane Kiffin and Tom Herman.
There we go.
Some names that maybe there I didn't take seriously, but there's a lot of smoke about Lane Kiffin of people wanting to include him in discussions. He hasn't been shot down as a candidate. I don't know if he just wants some attention or what, but he's getting it, I guess. So I guess we're going to do this again where we beg Lane to come, quote unquote, home. So really, we're at the very best part of the coaching search where we just have a whole bunch of crazy options.
Yep.
Pretty much endless.
I wouldn't say they're endless, but at least you got like seven or eight guys that you're looking at and saying, okay, let's kick the tires on these guys. Now, of course, we have to hire an athletic director first. And, you know, I've seen some people say they think it's going to be John Gilbert, bringing him back to Tennessee. Getting him from ECU, he has a good working relationship with Rick Barnes. And right now, if you're Tennessee, maybe you should just listen to Rick Barnes. It's like the one thing you got going for you, Ashley. Maybe
the one positive.
Yeah, maybe just listen to Rick Barnes and make him happy. Give him the AD he wants.
I wanted to ask you about that because you said you thought the head coaching search was much more important than the AD search. And then, of course, they made it the emphasis to say, hey, we're going to get our AD before we get our head coach. What do you think about that process?
I mean, I feel like in these situations, you kind of got to go the right order. Mm-hmm. Is it not always a red flag like in the NFL when you hire the head coach before you hire the GM?
Yeah. You want them to be able to work together in some capacity.
Right, but you don't want the GM to feel like he's working for the head coach. You wouldn't feel like the GM is, you know, picking the coach and that's his guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want it to feel like, you know, you have to come in and try to run this team without a coach that you want. So whether or not the AD is coming in and he's getting to pick whoever he wants – you know, that is yet to be seen. But I just think optically it does make sense to make that hire in that order, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You hire the GM, you let him pick the head coach. You hire the AD, you let him be the one to hire the coach, do the press conference, talk about why he picked him, and, you know, act as if it's a marriage. Now, it could be an arranged marriage.
Yep.
Could be one of those things where it's like, hey, here you go, Mr. or Mrs. AD. We're pairing you with this head coach. Now go make it work. Now, it could be one of those things. But you at least wanted to look like you went out, you found your guy, you proposed. You're going to live happily ever after for 10 years at least, according to Philip Fulmer. So we'll see. There are a couple AD options. But I'll still say, Draven, that like I don't really care who it is. Although, like, you know, if Rick Barnes says he really wants somebody, which apparently he is close with Gilbert. Gilbert's son is a walk-on on the basketball team right now.
Mm. Okay.
Gilbert has come to some games to watch him play or, you know, watch him be on the bench, obviously. So, like, there's a relationship there with Rick Barnes. There's a relationship with Rick Barnes from when Gilbert was here on campus working.
Yeah.
So if Rick Barnes wants him, I would maybe give him the benefit of the doubt simply because, again, it's the only good thing you have right now on campus.
It's the only thing stable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You got to keep that solid.
Mm-hmm.
And by, you know, a lot of the rumors over the last couple of years that, you know, Fulmer and Barnes didn't really see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. That Barnes didn't really like Fulmer. And it makes sense when you consider Fulmer's a football guy and talks all about football and wants to be so involved with the football program and kind of treats basketball like it's nothing. And, you know, the whole, like, negotiations with UCLA. Yeah. Everyone gave Randy Boyd credit for stepping in and, like, kind of smoothing that over mm-hmm. when it looked like he would be leaving.
Yeah.
So maybe you throw Barnes a bone here. But either way, like, I don't honestly think that the next AD will be picking the head coach.
You don't?
Yeah, no. Randy Boyd.
I think Randy Boyd the money will pick the next head coach.
Yeah.
Now, like, they might give him some input. Don't get me wrong. Like, they might, like, let them sit there on the board or, you know, sit there in the meetings and, you know, mm-hmm. like, hey, here's our three choices. We really, really want this one, but if you want to go somewhere else, we'll listen type of thing where they, you know,
yeah.
go through the motions. But I don't think the next AD will be coming in and be expected to make a hire immediately. That seems unfair to an AD, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're taking somebody from UAB or ECU. Because yeah. I would imagine, you know, John Curry has talked about good ADs always have a, you know, a list running. Mm-hmm. Imagine John Gilbert's list at ECU.
Yeah.
Don't imagine it being very long.
Or, like,
or very good.
Or, yeah, very good. Like, yeah. it's probably all, like, guys on his staff already and, right. like, you know, other, you know, maybe some local high school coaches or, you know, other, like, D2 or D3 coaches. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the Tennessee should be hiring better than ECU is my point.
Mm-hmm.
So is it fair to, like, hire them, those guys and be like, hey, welcome to the big leagues. Let's go out here and go make a big-time hire? That seems a little far-fetched, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, and that just makes me think it's going to be Kevin Steele the whole year.
The VolQuest guys did say that was very, very, very unlikely, which made me feel better.
Really?
But also at the same time, it makes me feel like if it's going to be Kevin Steele, Kevin Steele's not going to be in a one-year rental. Like, you still shouldn't rule out the idea of Kevin Steele, but I think we've talked about with recruiting, you know, we are, what, 11 months away from this big recruiting class making their decisions? Like, now's the time when a lot of these guys who are juniors after their junior season make their commitment. The big-time commitments usually have an idea of who they're going to after their junior year. And then you're trying to, like, yeah. either flip them or, you know, hold off if you're the ones who get them. So, I think we could rule out Kevin Steele as a one-year rental. That doesn't mean that Kevin Steele won't be a 4 or 5 year plan. Oof. But I just don't think you can have a lame duck one-year coach.
I just think we have so many moving parts and it's already a little late to the party, it feels like. So I just think this feels like the safe option just to stick with him for a year. And they John Talty, the SEC sports writer, he did go on Paul Feinbaum's show and said that, I don't think Kevin Steele would have come to UT if he didn't think he had a shot at the head coaching job.
Right.
For the like, I'm assuming, more than just 1 year. So I think he's going to, you know, really pursue this.
I mean, it was very smart of him to get on board. Kind of see the writing on the wall and be like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and get into that the hen's den. I'm going to go ahead and weasel my way in there.
Yep.
I'll be this wolf over here in the corner. It's a lot easier to stay hidden than it is to break in and get chosen to come in. I'm just going to hide over here. And maybe they'll turn around and say, hey, well, you're already on campus. You know these boys. Because keep in mind, like, if Kevin Steele wants to be the head coach, Lane Kiffin doesn't know these players.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze doesn't know these players. Jamie Chadwell doesn't know any of these players. Like, go down the list. None of those guys know these players personally. None of these other coaches are already on campus working with people and making relationships. So credit to Kevin Steele for playing checkers, or for playing chess, I guess. But I won't say that we're tardy to the party just yet.
Got a little bit of time.
You got a little bit of time. Not a lot of time.
I was about to say, not a lot.
Not a lot, but a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But who are you hiring that'll be willing to walk away from their team at this point? Like, you can't go get any Power 5 coaches. At least any that you would want that aren't sleazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Scott Satterfield might be willing to, you know, dip on Louisville immediately, but that's, you know, kind of looking what his character is, and maybe you stay away from those type of guys. We'll continue talking about Tennessee throughout the day, obviously, especially hour one. Eventually, we will switch gears. Tennessee, Florida, tonight. We do have a full weekend of NFL playoffs that we still have to hit. We got Tuesday trivia. Maybe we'll try to sneak in some winners and losers of the weekend since we didn't do that. Who knows? We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, made with their unique brew pure process. They want to deliver you only the finest flavors. They got 8 delicious flavors to choose from. Find which ones are your favorite. Only 100 calories. Please drink responsibly. We appreciate White Claw and Cherokee Distributing for their support. We'll come back after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's do a little coaching hot boards. Let's go around the room. You can give me your first. You can give me your top 3 options or just your number 1 option. Hayden, you were ahead of the curve. You've been working on this list for months, so I'll let you start it. As of right now, January 19th, give me your top option or your top 3 options for Tennessee football head coaching search.
Well, I'd love to see Lane Kiffin, John, like y'all said yesterday. I don't think it's going to happen, so I'm not even going to put them in the top 3. I don't even think it's possible.
Enough people keep talking about it.
I'd love to see it. He would be my number 1, though. But
he, quote-unquote, still talks to people in Knoxville and still has some friends over on campus and apparently talks to the Haslams frequently.
Hey.
That'd be great.
Lane's smart enough to know not to burn bridges. Again, like he's trying to repair those bridges. Takes twice as long to build bridges that you burn. So Lane's been working on it for over a decade. So he's not on your list.
He's not on my list, but he would be number 1 if I didn't think he was.
Just put him on your list. You get 2 other spots, just put him on your list.
Okay,
if you're going to say he would be number 1, just put him on your list.
Okay, we'll put him at number 1, John.
Okay.
Number 1, Lane Kiffin. Number 2, Hugh Freeze.
Now, see, I think Hugh Freeze is less realistic than Kiffin, honestly, which is kind of crazy, but I do think it's true.
We saw what Pete Thamel tweeted out about the press conference, how they kept talking about integrity. He basically said, like, that means they will not hire Hugh Freeze.
Well, that was my takeaway, too, from watching it. It was like, you know, Randy Boyd went out of the way to talk about integrity, which, you know, that could have just been a show for the NCAA.
I hope so.
And he's a show change
of the parents
man,
and players who are mad, which it was funny seeing the players be mad, like, how could this happen? As they sit with their McDonald's bags full of cash. Like, what do you mean how this happened? You guys obviously
counting their money.
Someone in your locker room, unless we do, we're just simply playing players that didn't come here. Like, some of you guys were making money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, like, obviously, some of you guys are sitting in there like, well, yep, they finally got caught. How could this happen? As you sit there and cry in your stack of money, like the Dave Chappelle gif.
Jeez. He's a changed man, John.
Okay, but again, like Draven said, when Randy Boyd's sitting up there talking about integrity, it could just be a show for the NCAA. Like, hey, we're cleaning house. Hey, don't worry about these 50 level 1 violations we maybe have, level 1, level 2 violations. Don't worry about that. We are we're taking this seriously.
But I hope it's for show, man. We're not going to let integrity like hold us back from making the right hire, right? We're going to not take a Kiffin or a Hugh Freeze just because of integrity. We're not going to hire those guys because of integrity, the two best candidates on the list.
I think, well, you know, once they're already, you know, talking about your punishment, I don't think you worry about what the coach is.
Exactly.
They're going to punish you regardless. Type
right.
Thing.
Yep.
Like, like the investigation, it's all bad, whatever. But let's not forget, we also went 3-7. Like, we also just weren't a good football team. And we need change. And like Hayden said, Hugh Freeze is a changed man.
So you got Kiffin and Freeze at 1 and 2.
Number 3, I got Jamie Chadwell.
So what happened to your Gus bus? Gus is number 1 forever.
Yeah, Gus. No, Gus is number 2. He was behind Hugh. And Gus fell out of my rankings as soon as we hired Kevin Steele.
Okay.
But there's no chance that he's going to come up here with that knife still on his back from that Kevin put in there. I guess in 2018, he's been gradually putting it in there a little deeper.
Yeah.
So he's not coming. And I guess my honorable mention would be Tom Herman, I guess. But yeah, people say he's a jerk, so I don't even know how that would play here.
I would say Gus is unlikely, but if Gus wanted to come here and didn't want to work with Steele,
yeah,
you could fire Steele and you could pay him whatever buyout he would have, which would be funny to have to pay a guy a buyout. But to me,
after
that
two
would just,
weeks.
To me, that would just be tough. Not because you'd hurt Kevin Steele's feeling, but basically, like, he is the guy you're trying to, like, get to bond with your players right now. So it'd just be another gut punch for the players. All right.
I'd love to see the Gus bust. It's just not going to happen with Kevin Steele here.
Cameron, what are you looking at?
I have Jamie Chadwell as my number one. Got him because I think he's super realistic. I think he's a young enough guy coming up, but if he comes here and sticks, he can be your coach for the next 10, 15 years. And, yeah, I think he's an up-and-comer. We might as well hop on him now. He's my number one. Right behind him, I'd have Tom Herman. And then I have Freeze at three just because I think he's the least realistic.
So you like Tom Herman?
Yeah.
Sell me on Tom Herman, Cam.
I think he could replicate at least what he did at Texas, and I think right now we'd take that.
So you're saying replicate?
That's my only take is he's an established coach, but we've seen, at least be solid at a program and can at least – if you're going through, NCAA troubles and stuff, it would be nice to have a guy that, can actually coach a little.
Sure.
So you can, maybe win some games. Some of the people like Chadwell, for example, even, doesn't have the huge experience yet. So you bring him in. Yeah, I think he'd work for sure, but he also, of course, has that chance of, being a bust.
32-18 at Texas isn't very good.
I mean, he won a Sugar Bowl at least, right?
I mean, so we need to come to an agreement on whether or not bowl games matter. we need to come to an agreement on that because if you're telling me, and that's going to be what a lot of people say it with Hugh Freeze as well.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a talk about that because I know that it's one of the New Year's Six. So, that's already a step up. It's not winning the Alamo Bowl, which he did the last 2 years. It's winning the Sugar Bowl. But, that Sugar Bowl was the one that Georgia went to after getting heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And basically had a whole bunch of players opt out. They were not playing motivated at all. Does that matter?
And they won by, just a touchdown. It's not like they blew them out.
The saying you won a Sugar Bowl matter. The fact they beat Georgia in a game where Georgia didn't care. If Georgia had cared and Georgia beat Texas and you could not say Tom Herman won a Sugar Bowl, would you still look at that as a positive? Are we really making his whole tenure come down to one game?
I'm not. I don't think bowl. I don't count bowl games and stuff, especially in that kind of situation.
Right.
Of how, you said, Georgia had everybody opting out and stuff. Those games, it just looks nice to be oh, yeah, Sugar Bowl. But, yeah, in the grand scheme, I don't think it matters.
Then again, think about it from our perspective. Wouldn't you guys want to win a Sugar Bowl right now? Wouldn't that be something something pretty nice?
I'd also love to play a Big 12 schedule every year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And have a talent advantage in every game you play in except maybe one. And you might still have
Oklahoma game.
I feel like Texas and Oklahoma are pretty much neck and neck mm-hmm. with talent. I mean, mm-hmm. I would like to be in that situation too, and that's where Tom Herman was at. And didn't he lose to Maryland twice?
He did. He did. I'd rather have him than Chadwell. And I get Chadwell, he's since he got whatever, but he's not proven enough. He had one good year at Coastal. And like we said, it's a pandemic year. I mean, come on. We're going to give him credentials to UT, just like that?
So, Cam, your top three was?
Chadwell.
Chadwell's number one, yeah, Herman's two, and
Herman
then you said?
Freeze
at three. All right, Draven, what's your list?
I'm with Hayden. I like Kiffin. Kiffin be number one. Give him a second chance. Bring him home.
I just can't see that happen.
I know.
And I know people talk about Bobby Petrino went back to Louisville, but Bobby, the thing about that is Bobby Petrino was – a legend at Louisville. You know what I mean? The first go-around, Louisville was really good. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that Louisville team was really good, and, he left for the NFL, and, they were mad about that, but it's easier to sell Bobby Petrino when he is a legend at your school. Lane Kiffin is not a legend at Tennessee.
People like him, though.
People do like him. People treat him like a legend.
Yeah. I feel like he just fits UT. Does it not feel like he just fits us?
No.
A little bit.
I mean, he likes to tweet, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, we do too. UT fans love to tweet. It's perfect.
He's
perfect
a troll,
match.
If that's what you mean. But sure, he would fit at Tennessee. People would like him. He would bring exciting offense.
He would. Is it the fact that he's been at UT? Is that just giving them a second chance?
Yeah.
That's the only thing holding you back?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You can say that he was the big domino that put you where you're at the last decade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Kiffin doesn't leave and you don't have to hire Dooley, I would imagine Tennessee has had a lot better decade. Right?
Yeah.
So, are we just going to – maybe people will say, hey, let's right the wrong, and he's going to say, let's right the wrong, I'm sorry, blah, 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 never should have done it. He's tried to say the right thing since leaving. He has been very nice to Tennessee when he's left and tried to, speak highly. of Tennessee. But at the same time, like, if I was over there and I had some money and I got stabbed in the back by him, talk about, you know, Gus getting stabbed in the back by Steele, I'd say Kiffin, what he did to you leaving right before, you know, right before early enrollees are getting in, he's trying to keep his players from going to school and you're having to scramble and try to, you know, sign, you know, hire somebody right before signing day. That was pretty tough, and that'd be pretty tough to get over if I was some of those decision makers over there.
Absolutely.
But Lane was a young man. That was a decade ago. He's got some age, a little bit longer in the tooth, a little bit more maturity, and he has proven himself to be a competent head coach and a really, really good offensive mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not speaking ill of Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin. I just can't really see either one of those guys getting hired.
Yeah, especially like, you know, we talked about when they're talking about integrity as the number one thing, which again is what's frustrating because sometimes you have to be bold. Fortune favors the bold. Like, you got to make a bold move if you want to go all out.
And Ole Miss was dealing with sanctions and they hired Lane Kiffin. So
exactly.
Like, someone hasn't done that before. Like, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. But I'm simply saying, like, those. Maybe they were putting on a show yesterday for the NCAA, like I said, but Kiffin and Freeze, I get the appeal. I get the appeal. I just don't know if Tennessee would be willing to do it. But they should. They should.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Give me number two.
I'd say Hugh Freeze. I agree with Hayden. And, I mean, third, I don't know. I guess Herman. I like Herman better than Chadwell. I'll tell you that much. I just think if we get Chadwell, it's settling, man. I really do. You not think a little bit?
I think Chadwell maybe is the... The way I've said it is, I think Chadwell is one of two guys who could be a superstar here. Now, I think the floor is low.
Right. That's kind of my point.
The floor is low. It depends what you want with this hire. Like, are you trying to go and you're trying to fix your program and hire somebody who's going to be here for the next 15, 20 years? Like, somebody that can be the next, like, the legend of this generation? Like, if things go well, obviously. Like, you know, if you hire Kiffin and he's awesome, I would always feel like Kiffin would go somewhere better. Get the itch to try it in the NFL again.
Yeah.
Be someone that Alabama might call. I don't know what other jobs, but I'm saying, like, I would always feel like he would be one phone call away from leaving. Hugh Freeze, maybe it's different. He's talked about it being his dream job. I don't know. I still don't know, like, how sincere he is when he speaks. He's kind of a shady individual. He kind of knows how to try to control the message.
Yeah.
So I will say with Chadwell, like, I do think he is one of the two potential superstars you could hire that would want to be here for a long time.
And the thing about Herman is, like, that I just have been thinking about since when I put him as my honorable mention is the top 10 recruits in Texas this year. Do you know how many they got, John, for Texas this year?
No.
One.
Okay.
I mean, how is that possible? I mean, there's one guy who's still beside between A&M and Texas that they could, so they could have two of the top 10.
Do you have the top 10 list? Like, do you have where they went to school?
Yeah, I do. Tommy Brockmeyer is number one off the tackle.
I don't even name.
Okay,
just give me
Alabama, one. Ohio State, Texas got the number three guy. Alabama, A&M, OU, and then the number eight guys between Texas and A&M right now hasn't decided yet. OU, Alabama.
So five. Alabama got three of your top 10, which. I mean, that's why Alabama's so damn good, because they can go into your backyard and, like, they're recruiting in the South and then going to Texas and getting who they want and going to California and getting who they want. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why. Like, we need Texas to be good again.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to stop Alabama, you need USC and Texas to get good again. We don't need Alabama going into, was it Najee Harris? Wasn't he a California boy?
Yeah, Antioch, California.
Yeah, like, going into Antioch and getting him. Whenever, like, you know, you go right down the road to USC. We need one of those damn California schools to be good again. And we need Texas to be good again. I just, to me, Herman, if he didn't work at Texas, man, like, with everything they gave him, I just don't think he's going to work here in the SEC. But going back to Chadwell, like, he's been a head coach for longer. He's gotten in trouble as a head coach. He's rebounded. He has one good year at Coastal Carolina. But, like, if you hire him tomorrow, people would wonder, can he do it in the SEC? Will his style of play work in the SEC? Will his option that he runs work in the SEC. Now, I will say it seems a lot more likely to work just because there's some throwing aspects to it. Like, you know, McCall's up there slinging that thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of RPOs.
Yeah. Can that work? Will that work? And also, can he build an SEC staff? That will be the questions.
I was about to say, his coordinators would – that would be probably – his most important thing he's bringing in, honestly.
I would say they would convince Kevin Steele to stay on at defensive coordinator.
I would say
so,
yeah. I would agree.
And then he would be in charge of his offense.
A name I'm starting to like just a little bit. It's, I'm starting to like Bill O'Brien just a little bit. God. Just a little bit. I mean, you reading the tweets and stuff about him, just, you know, Penn State.
Nope.
Built, rebuilding a just nope. reeling program that's on a downward slope.
Mm-mm.
Nope. I kind of like it.
I'm not reading.
I kind of like it.
I'm not reading one tweet about Bill O'Brien. No thanks.
I'd rather have Bill O'Brien than Chadwell. Yep. I think we need a proven guy to handle this.
Bill O'Brien's not proven in college.
He handled Penn State pretty well when they had a lot going on.
What'd he do?
He won a decent amount of games.
He was there for 2 years.
Yeah, and
he won 7 and 8 games. Like, I mean, that's fine, but, like, I'm not going to give him, say, he's a proven college head coach just because of that. Now, like, he has some credentials in the NFL. That's fine, but, like, if we're just looking from a college standpoint, Bill O'Brien going 15-9, is it anything I'm going to get, you know, really excited about?
In a pretty rough spot. In a pretty dramatically rough spot at the time.
I mean, on one hand, yes, but on the other hand, like, the sanctions hadn't really bothered him in terms of the scholarships. Like, the scholarship reduction, like, starts hurting you down the road a little bit. Like, the first year after, it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, the players he was recruiting really didn't get to make an impact. I mean, they were freshmen his second year. I mean, I doubt they had that many freshmen playing.
Sure, I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, I mean, he won 8 games. That's cool. Won 7 the next year. I mean, they should have won more of the game. That's what's crazy. They should have won more than that. When you open up their schedule, and the first game is a loss to Ohio, a 1-point loss to Virginia. I mean, look, if Bill O'Brien had ran out 10-2 his first year, we might be having a different conversation. But you tell me that his first game was a loss to Ohio, that's tough. I mean, if you look at the schedule, they did fine. And if you hire Bill O'Brien, and I didn't know he was such a jerk and I didn't have such a disdain for him, maybe I wouldn't be as...
Yeah, this is just your AFC South coming out of you, your Titans faithful coming out of you.
It's really just not liking Bill O'Brien as a person. He just seems like a jerk, and he just seems like he is too stubborn and not very fun to be around.
I still want to look at the butt chin on the sidelines.
I'm with you there. I just don't like the way he looks.
Yeah.
I don't like the way he looks. He did beat Michigan.
Mm.
And a ranked Wisconsin team in his second year.
Wow.
Which, again, at 7-5, you would think that, if you didn't drop a couple embarrassing ones, lose to UCF, maybe you could have had a good record. We'll continue talking Tennessee football. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, day one of the Tennessee coaching search. We're talking realistic candidates, and I think, you know, the common name that keeps coming up, Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze. Again, I don't know how realistic those are, but we're talking about just kind of the mental capacity, the mental statement where the fans are right now. They want some guys that they're familiar with, it seems like, right? Like, what does it have in common, the three names you keep hearing? Chadwell, Freeze, Kiffin. All three guys have Tennessee ties, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Hugh Freeze here, who has talked about Tennessee being his dream job before. He's won in the SEC. Now, I think that, you know, what he did to win in the SEC almost a decade ago has kind of become the new norm in the SEC. Like, when he was beating Alabama, they weren't throwing the ball around like they are now. You know what I mean?
He was ahead of the curve a little bit.
Yeah, he was like Chip Kelly was when Chip Kelly was at Oregon. And now you have Alabama doing what Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss, but doing it better.
Yep.
We're going to throw the ball down the field. Like, Hugh Freeze went there and helped, like, kind of show Nick Saban what he does offensively. Nick Saban has talked about studying what Hugh Freeze does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a big thorn in Saban's side for a while.
Right. And now, like, Saban plays that way, and Saban does it better than what Ole Miss could do it, you know, if he was there, or how they could do it if he was here in Knoxville, same as Florida. Kiffin, ties to Tennessee, nostalgia, the one that got away.
Mm-hmm.
Could come here, right the wrongs. Everyone likes a good redemption story. We all have that one girlfriend or boyfriend, husband or wife that kind of wish we could call and get back. It's kind of Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. Problem is he's constantly flirting with you. Like when you break up with your ex, like you kind of can get him out of your sight and out of mind. You don't have to keep seeing him on TV and keep having them talk about the good old days.
Texting you at 3 a.m.
Yeah, they're the ones texting you.
Yep.
And you want to text them back, but you still can't get them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got like the dad won't sign off.
Right.
Want to get married, but dad won't give me your hand in marriage. I'm sorry. Mm. And then with Chadwell, like Chadwell has, you know, some credentials. He's a national coach of the year right now, 11-1. Had a good year. Maybe the breakout star of the 2020 college football season. How would we feel if it was Jamie Chadwell if he didn't have East Tennessee connections, though? If he wasn't someone who grew up nearby, who went to Tennessee games?
Because he is the least qualified candidate when it comes to just looking at the top three or four candidates, right?
He's the closest to a coordinator you're going to get. I mean, outside of Kevin Steele, which, I mean, you could argue about Kevin Steele's credentials simply because he was 1-31 in conference at Baylor. I mean, there's a infamous story about him basically having a case of PTSD at Baylor and starting to call plays from the Clemson playbook.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, just basically, he had a breakdown after Dana Holgorsen. They dropped 70 on him at the bowl game, you know, with West Virginia and Clemson. So you can argue to me that Kevin Steele isn't equipped to be a head coach either. Like, him and Chadwell are on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to me, I'm saying this is a chance for the university to make a statement on what they want. You can hire Kevin Steele if you want. You can give him 3 years. You can give him 4 years. He's a former Vol. But I think we all agree the ceiling would be pretty low with Kevin Steele. And I'm not sure how high the floor would be either. But stability, 7-8 wins, maybe he could do that for you.
That's kind of what we need right now too, right? Just some stability.
I mean, that's what everyone keeps saying, but you know, the least stable thing you can have is losing and having to fire your coach. Like, Jerry Pruitt was supposed to be a stable hire. He was supposed to be a program builder.
Yep.
Like, I think Pruitt's ceiling could have been high. He did have credentials. He did have things on paper that made you think, okay, this guy can be good. Now, ultimately, people were like, he's never been a head coach before. At least, you know, at a big level. Is he going to be able to do that? Well, the answer was no. No, he couldn't. You know, allegedly they were dropping bags of cash off in McDonald's bags. Like, you would think in all the places he had been, Florida State, Georgia, and Alabama, he would learn how to cheat a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Brian Niedermeyer, a.k.a. Moose, a.k.a. Grimace, was at Alabama with him. Did he not, like, learn anything about how to drop bags of cash off?
I mean, and they're getting the best of the best players. They got to have a little experience from that, you would think.
They got to Knoxville and was like, hey, let's just do it this way. We don't need to be secretive.
Try to be innovative.
Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about coaching candidates, Draven, you said you want stable. I disagree with that vehemently. I want to swing for the fences.
Yeah.
I want to swing for the fences because this is going to be a big rebuild. Stable's not going to get the job done. And to me, I'm looking at who can be a home run. I think Chadwell has big potential, especially if you keep Kevin Steele around to run the defense. And, like, you have SEC coordinators around him. But Tennessee has shown, like, hey, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
We are going to pay. We paid two coordinators over $1 million. There aren't many schools in the country who can say that. Tennessee did it. Tennessee has upgraded facilities. We have a third practice field. Like, we have invested money. We are, you know, that's what makes Jeremy Pruitt failing so maddening is like, hey, bro, like, we didn't nickel and dime you. We gave you everything you wanted.
He had the resources, yeah.
You even had millions of dollars to throw to recruits, and you couldn't get it done. I think Chadwell could be that home run. Kiffin would bring some excitement, sure. Mm-hmm. I could see it with Freeze. I have really honed in, though, on Gerard Mayo. That's who I want. That's who I want. I watch clips of him speaking, and I fall in love. I'm motivated. I am pumped up. You look at the credentials, and it comes down to what do you value. Because the first thing people are going to say with Gerard Mayo is, oh, he's only been a coach for 2 years. An inside, you know, a linebacker's coach at New England. But I would simply ask, I mean, what about Jamie Chadwell's resume makes him so much better than Gerard Mayo?
True.
Who, you know, people are saying is their number one candidate. Because he's been a head coach, okay, well, he hasn't ever done anything in the SEC. Who do you think feels? Who do you think knows the SEC better, Jamie Chadwell or Gerard Mayo?
Say Mayo.
Got the lean Mayo there.
I mean, maybe, maybe not. And like, maybe he would fall and couldn't be a head coach as well. Like, you know, we just did that with Jeremy Pruitt. Maybe you want an established head coach. Well, to me, if you're saying you want an established head coach, you can't then give me Jamie Chadwell.
That's fair. Yeah.
You can't give me Tom Herman. I understand Tom Herman might quote unquote be established, but he was 32-18 at Texas. He lost to Maryland twice. He constantly lost with more talent. Like, no thanks. With Mayo, you're getting someone who is a top 10 NFL pick, who is a Super Bowl champion, who the New England Patriots believed enough to name a captain in year two, who, you know, Bill Belichick thought enough of to bring on staff and let him coach the linebackers and call some plays alongside his son.
And even without a head coaching gig, he was getting looks from the NFL this year.
He got one look with the Philadelphia Eagles, which, full disclosure, the Philadelphia Eagles have interviewed, like, everyone under the sun. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles are doing their due diligence. Yep. They got to be up to, like, 15 names that they have interviewed. But that's fine.
He was still on the list.
Mayo was somebody on the list, exactly. Yeah. Like, if you are throwing out Jason Witt and Dan Patrick, like, okay, we could go with somebody who's actually coaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
That actually has learned something from coaching. And again, learns under Bill Belichick. And I, you know, when I say that, people are like, well, what about Jeremy Pruitt? He learned under Nick Saban, and you saw how that worked. Well, I would simply say that, A, Jeremy Pruitt learned under Nick Saban, so did five other people in this conference. Mm-hmm. And B, Nick Saban is still coaching in the SEC. Gerard Mayo would be getting away from Bill Belichick. There is no Bill Belichick in the SEC. Yeah. There are no other Bill Belichick assistants in the SEC, except maybe, you know, Bill O'Brien when he gets to Alabama as an offensive coordinator. Yeah. I'm just at the point where I want to swing for the fences, and I do think that is a potential superstar hire that you could make. Could it fail? Yeah, of course. But the thing is, guys, anybody on this list can fail.
Yeah. And I think you'd be willing to be a little more patient with Gerard Mayo than some of these random guys you would bring in, just out of the fact that, you know, UT guy, we know him, we know we're in some trouble, stuff like that. I think people would be a little patient with him.
Well, that's my biggest question, though, is how long? How long do you give Gerard Mayo to build a program, right? I mean, are we giving him three years and we're pissed off again, or are we?
Well, that's the thing, is like, if we're having bowl bands and we're having scholarship reductions, I think you're going to have to sell patience on any of these coaches.
Right, I agree.
Like, if Jamie Chadwell comes, we're not going to tell Jamie Chadwell he has 2 years and done. Like, it's if what Philip Fulmer said yesterday was true, which, who knows? I mean, that's a whole other thing. They shouldn't let Philip Fulmer talk. But what he said was a decade. We want a decade relationship between this AD and coach. So, like, I think you would have a little bit of patience. But also, like, I think if you had a good coach that could come in and win 7 games within 2 years, like, that would feel like a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, like, next year's schedule isn't that tough. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying Tennessee can go win 8 or 9 games or whatever, but, like, if you're looking at winning 7, you really just have to win 3 SEC games and beat Pittsburgh. Mm. Beat Vanderbilt. And then find 2 other SEC wins. Like, that's really all you need. And beat Pittsburgh. But, like, Pittsburgh's a pretty easy non-conference schedule, all things considered. Hayden, you had something to say?
Should beat South Carolina next year, too.
Yeah, you would think, like, South Carolina coming to Knoxville. So, like, Tennessee can beat Vanderbilt and South Carolina, and then you're looking at, can we get one other SEC win? The next thing you know, you won 7 games.
That's a good year with everything going on.
It's also scary if you're thinking about Kevin Steele, by the way, because if Kevin Steele gets a little short-term run, like, he can easily win 7 games and prove himself. And I've said constantly that I think college football is about motivation. I think that is a big part of the battle. Like, if you can recruit players and you can motivate them, you can be good in college football. You can win 8 or 9 games. You don't have to be the sharpest when it comes to X's and O's. Who do I trust more to go in and recruit five-star and four-star athletes at Tennessee? Jamie Chadwell, who has never done it at the SEC, or Jerod Mayo, who is a top 10 pick, a Super Bowl champion. And if you've never listened to him speak, like, I know that there's some people who have the common misconception of, oh, he's a jock, he's athletic, he's not going to be well-spoken enough, he's not going to be smart enough. All those tropes that have held us back, all those lines of thinking that have held us back for so long, you know, you always hear the compliment, oh, he's well-spoken for an athlete. You know, it's just subtle racism is essentially what it is. But you got Jerod Mayo, who sounds more elegant than Peyton Manning when speaking. If you put Jerod Mayo doing a five-minute interview next to Peyton Manning doing a five-minute interview, you will come away more impressed with Jerod Mayo. You don't believe me? Go to my Twitter, watch some of those videos I've tweeted about him talking about the Patriots. You're going to be surprised, because I know what you're thinking. Linebacker in the SEC, this guy can't run a program. Go listen to him. Guarantee he sounds smarter and more eloquent than Jeremy Pruitt, who you just hired, and listened to him good old boy it all the way to 3-7.
Do we really want a defensive guy, though?
I'm fine with a defensive guy.
After getting rid of Pruitt?
I'm fine with a defensive guy. You're going to have to play defense, but, like, I mean, it's still going to come down to the same thing regardless. You're going to have to hire a good coordinator. If you're Jamie Chadwell and you're an offensive guy, guess what you got to do? Still got to hire a good defensive coordinator. At least somebody can get some stops.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's where Kevin Steele comes into play. Like, he's already in the boat.
Sure. But, I mean, like, again, like, we don't know if he's going to be on boat as a play caller or what. Like, we don't know if the next coach is going to be okay with him being there, because keep in mind, he stabbed Gus Malzahn in the back, and we don't know if any of these coaches are going to come in and coach Kevin Steele. They might be paying Kevin Steele basically $1 million when it comes to his salary, plus another year of buyout. They might be paying him $1 million for the next couple weeks and say, you know what, it was worth it. We paid you $1 million.
Yeah, gotta have good coordinators.
We paid you $1 million to bridge the gap for a couple weeks or a month as we get a next coach. All right, let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We've got Sean on the line. Sean, thanks for joining the show. The floor is yours.
Yes. First off, John, been a fan of yours for a while. I'm out here in Memphis. We'll get to the Trae Young, Ja Morant debate other time.
Yeah,
now.
Some other time. Thank you. Some other time.
Yeah. All joking aside, my three hires that I would love to go after, Tom Herman, number three, Hugh Freeze, number two, and Gus Malzahn, number one. For the first two, you've got proof that they can win in the SEC, recruit in the SEC, that they also can beat the top of the SEC in Saban. And for all three, I know that they all three have had various reasons as to why they failed, but they've also all three had, you know, reasons why they can succeed. And I think that that's something that Tennessee hopefully could go the route to do this time around, is kind of, you know, being that place where a coach can come and, you know, kind of re-up his stock, kind of like Tennessee needs to do. I know you run the risk once he re-ups his stock, he may leave, but that may be the perfect fit for Tennessee. Someone who already has experience and a bit of success under their belt and is looking for an opportunity, and now may be the time to get him without many other schools, you know, looking to get on board, you know, or have interest. That could be a route Tennessee could go. So Herman, Freeze, and Malzahn would be my top three.
So you want an established head coach that's at least had some level of success before.
That would be my way to go. You know, it's not really a route that we've gone, you know, to the level that Herman, Malzahn, and Freeze have had.
Sure.
And they've also learned what didn't work out at their previous jobs with having, you know, Tennessee there as, you know, desperately needing someone with some semblance of sense as a coach. It may be a good fit. It's a route we haven't gone before. It could work. So those would be my top three.
Sean, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for not twisting the knife. I know Trae Young's struggling a little bit right now, and Ja Morant and the Grizzlies are winning, and you guys are only a game up in the standings, okay? Let's relax a little bit, Sean. I appreciate you. Have a good day, brother.
Y'all keep up the good work.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. Sean just joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. He said he wants an established coach. And he said he wants, you know, he thinks the guys that just recently got fired, Herman and Gus, you know, would have learned their lesson. I don't know if that's the case. Like, with Herman kind of got stuck between a rock and a hard place this year. The whole Eyes of Texas thing, like, he got stuck between he's going to stand with his players – and them wanting to protest a song they deemed to be racially insensitive. And he stuck with the locker room, and he made all the big money boosters at Texas mad. He made the president of Texas mad. He made the AD at Texas mad. So there was really no chance of him to survive this year, as long as they could get somebody with a name to take that job. You know, that was kind of one of the worst-kept secrets during the college football season. Like, we knew Herman was going to be out of there. But I do ask the question between him and Gus. Like, if you have a cool $20 million sitting in the bank, do you jump at this Tennessee opportunity? It's not necessarily the same as Rick Barnes, who is from North Carolina, can quote-unquote be coming home after getting fired from Texas, who might not have a lot of big-time opportunities. Tennessee basketball was in a little bit of a, you know, shambles after Donnie Tindall, but like they were just 1 year removed from a Sweet 16 run.
Yeah.
Tennessee football is a long ways removed from a Sweet 16 run. We haven't been one of the 16 best teams in the country in a long time. And if you're Tom Herman, you're Gus Malzahn, if you come to Tennessee and fail, that might be your last shot as a big-time head coach.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if I got $20 million in the bank, do I want to jump into maybe my last opportunity at a school that maybe I don't deem as special or I don't deem as very close? So for those reasons, I don't see Gus or Herman being interested in this job this year. That's the way I've kind of felt. Like, this is Tom Herman's last chance. If you fail at Texas and you come and fail at Tennessee, you're not getting another big coaching job. No. If you're Gus and you come to fail at Tennessee, you're not getting another big coaching job. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.